League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the 19th Hole Golf Show. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's been a while since we've done one of these shows. It's basically been the entire year since we've done one of these shows on this podcast feed. And there's a reason for that, and that's the topic of today's show, which is a very strange 2024, which hopefully culminates in a happy note, at least professionally, with the launch of Golf News Net TV. And start from the end and work back to the beginning, I suppose. But Golf News Net TV launched on Sunday at the Solheim Cup. And a 16-month project to create that really took up a lot of this year, obviously. And I want to kind of talk through that story a little bit, what GNN TV is and what my goals and hopes are. And more than anything else, I want to use it as a sounding board, but hopefully you on the other side of that sound offer feedback. I'd love to hear from you, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com or Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, Blue Sky, Ryan Ballingy. You can follow Golf News Net on any of those services at the handle Golf News Net. And then I'm on YouTube and Facebook at Ryan Ballingy Golf. So we launched it on Sunday afternoon at the Solheim Cup. And as I mentioned, it's the culmination of kind of a 16-month project that starts with about a six-hour loop of programming that we're just going to kind of run continuously for this week. We'll make some changes to it over the course of the week, but at least for this first week, just kind of get it out there, start refining some things about it, and then we'll start to build out a schedule. So what's in those 6 hours is some episodes from our show, The Road to French Lick, which we've done 9 episodes of now. This year, chronicling the Korn Ferry Tour season with our friends at French Lick Resort. A couple of episodes of a show called Endless Golf, which airs here in the Mid-Atlantic region and has been on probably my entire adult life. Bobby Vermilion does a great job. I've enjoyed watching him. It was really cool to actually talk to him and invite him to be a part of GNN TV. We've got a couple episodes of the Four Golfers Network live show, or Michigan Golf Live, with Bill Hobson. Bill's become a good friend over the years. He's just a good, decent guy. And those are people you should stand by and stand up for. And he does a great job highlighting golf in Michigan and other places, but predominantly in Michigan. Then we have a couple of hours from a show called Match Play with Ray Adams. And Ray and I have got to know each other a little bit over the last year or so, you know, throughout really 2024. And Ray has done his show out in Arizona for 20, 25 years. Just all kinds of cool interviews and conversations with legends of the game and different interesting personalities and kind of bring them to golf. And he does some cool competition shows each year with a Mother's Day show, you know, competition with LPGA players, a Father's Day competition with PGA Tour Champions players and their sons. It's cool. And he's done a very good job with his show. And then we have some episodes of Secret Golf with Steve Elkington, which actually the first season we're running, the first episodes, that first season was called The Rural Golfer because it aired on RFD TV. And the show is, I really like, because the concept of it is that Elk wanted to go on the road to find cool golf stories and people and look at the history of the game and look at where it grows in places you might not expect and meet people with amazing backstories. It's not about him. It's about other people. I mean, he's obviously part of it. He does instruction or plays with someone or, you know, talks to other people. But it's turning the camera on not a professional golfer, but a professional golfer turning the camera on golf. And I've always liked that. And we have all kinds of other shows. We'll have 24 shows in total once we really get this thing going. And you might be wondering, you've talked about this for several minutes now, what the hell is GNN TV? So Golf News Net TV is a 24/7 linear style TV channel. It would look just like any channel you would watch on cable or satellite or over the air. It has a programming grid, by the 30 minutes or hour. It has commercial breaks. It has episodes and shows. It follows a format. It looks and feels like TV. The difference is it's available digitally. It's called, the platform is called FAST, the concept. Free ad-supported TV. So there's no subscription. There's no cost to it. You don't have to pay to watch it. You can watch it currently on our website. Hopefully later this week it'll be on our apps for Amazon, Fire, and Roku. And then it'll be distributed in a couple of different ways beyond what we own and control. First is through a whole ton of streaming services. And you've probably heard of the names over the years. But we're going to start with kind of some of the simpler ones for us to get on in terms of our relationships. And those include Free Live Sports, Rewarded TV, Freeview, Distro, some others. And we'll announce that full list once it's all set up. And that's being done right now by our partners on the software side. They're called Amagi. And then after that, we'll be in front of about 30 to 40 million potential unique viewers per month. And you can watch it on your TV, you can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your computer, tablet, any screen. It's great. And then we'll expand to some additional services. And some are going to be more familiar than others, but like DirecTV and Fubo and Sling, Philo, Plex. Some of those you've probably heard of, some of those you probably haven't. But they have a pretty big user base. And that'll basically double our user base. And then there are close to 10 that are kind of the upper echelon. Your holy grail, in a perfect world, you would be on Samsung TV, the Roku channel, Pluto TV. Those would be the three biggest. Then you'd look at Freevee from Amazon. You'd look at Tubi from Fox. You'd look at LG, Vizio. They have app platforms for the TVs that they make. We'll be on TCL, by the way. They're a pretty well-distributed TV platform. And that will kind of be the universe of where this should be available toward the tail end of 2025. Most of this will be done by the first quarter of 2025, end of first quarter of 2025. And so the hope is to be able to have a channel that has a mixture of programming that kind of falls in three buckets. Some of the shows I just mentioned, that's kind of one bucket. Shows that are on TV currently or have been on TV not too distantly. Were made for TV, and they're made about you. They're made for you, the golfer, not necessarily pro golf fan. And those shows cover a personality driven, but they cover travel and lifestyle and some instruction and some equipment all together. And there are a good number of those shows. Probably 10. Then we're going to have a bucket that will expand over the fall and into 2025 of live golf programming, live golf talk, that will simulcast on GNN Radio, like this show does. And there will be 1 hour personality-driven shows. I'm going to host a couple of hours to start. Eventually wean myself off of that as we get more people involved. But those shows would be personality-driven, cover what they want about golf. So from Chuck Garbedian and Diane Knox Ballas, to myself, we've got some others. Maybe Doug Bell from PGA Tour Radio is a great dude. And we'll get that ramped up over the course of the fall. And that'll give us not only live programming for the TV side, which is great, but we can also use that on the radio side. And that'll help us change our schedule a little bit on the radio side and give us the block that we have, and this is structurally speaking. On weekdays, we have 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. Those are the same block, right? 6 hours, and then repeat it. And then 4 hours, then we repeat twice more after it airs. Well, this will allow us to focus our programming that's not ours, it's not what we own, to the evenings and properly highlight it in the evenings. which is great. Then the third block, the third bucket of our programming mix on the channel is going to be live and recently completed golf tournaments, and that could be at a professional level, could be at a collegiate level, amateur level. Could also be golf competition, so it could be putting competitions and tournaments. It could be miniature golf tournaments. It could be Golden Tee. It could be long drive. It could be a simulator league. There are lots of different things that we're working out right now. Some in hand, some not. But for the most part, we're in good shape there. So we'll have probably 50 days, maybe 100 days, depending on how it all works out, of live golf on the channel. And you'll be able to watch it live and replays of it. And you'll get to see great golfers having fun playing golf, whether that's at the professional level or amateur, whether that's on the golf course or off. And that's going to be cool. And I'll put all that together, and we'll have a 24-hour programming grid that'll give us anywhere from 8 to 10 fresh hours of content every day. And there will be blocks that are rerun, because no one in their right mind would watch 24 straight hours of golf on TV. So we can appeal to different time zones and parts of the world by the way that we choose to air. You'll also be able to watch GolfNews.net TV on TV screens out of your home. So we are working together with a big mobile company to distribute GNN TV out of home. So that means going to pro shops and clubhouses, simulator bay, clubs, driving ranges, even bars, and offering them what amounts to an HDMI stick. If you've ever used a Roku stick or an Amazon Fire stick or Apple TV, it's called a dongle, which is a funny word, but you plug it into the HDMI port of your TV. You connect to it as a video source, you connect to it over Wi-Fi, and then you can watch our channel, and you'll be able to do that out of home. So if you're someone who owns a golf course or driving range or one of those types of businesses that has some TV screens that need some content, give me an email. Happy to talk to you. Happy to get you set up with that as one of the first to get it once it's available. That'll be throughout the fall. So that's what we've got. That's what it is. So why did it take so darn long to make? So 16-month project, where did it start? It began in April-ish of 2023. And I was working with a company at the time called Cloud Media Center. And their business isn't the best place right now. But at the time, I was working with them as my video player provider. And they were building me a custom-style player. And I asked them to build something that would look like a TV channel, that would just take our videos, and our short-form videos, our long-form videos, and put them into a kind of scheduler and would look like a fast channel, like I've mentioned. And the player looked good. And they presented it to me, and I said, well, what's to stop us from making a fast channel? And the guy who's now my business partner said, well, we can do that, but you need to get a sizable library of at least 500 hours of programming. And you probably need to find a way to acquire some rights to competitions live and recently completed. And if you can do those things, then we can build you a channel. And I've wanted to do this concept for a while now, for a couple of years. And I've pursued it earlier in 2023, because the radio launched in 2022. So I wanted to get that started before I even started thinking about the TV thing. And reached out to some folks, called some people, put it on APB. And I had a huge wet blanket conversation with someone who worked in this space. And they said, well, how much programming do you have? And I said, well, probably 100 hours now. And you know, what's your churn rate? How often can you replace it? How often do you use it? And kind of just said, you know what? You really don't have any chance the way that you're intending to do it. And I say this to a lot of people, but the fastest way to get me to do something is to tell me I can't do it. And especially professionally, when I have a goal in mind, I will try to exhaust every avenue, and I think it's achievable, every avenue to achieve it. And then if I then come in and realize, hey, you know, maybe it's not achievable, then I've done my research, I'm smarter about it, and maybe the time comes eventually that I can achieve it, and I start from a better place. Not everything has to be a total dead end or a loss. And so I had some of that information in hand and was talking to, again, my now business partner in CMC about building this channel and said, okay, I think we can do this. Here's my idea. And then started talking to people in the industry, people I've formed relationships with over the years, who host TV shows, who have had them, who have rights, who have produced them, people at the tours, and started having those conversations. What if we created a TV channel? Would you be interested in putting your programming on it? Would you be interested in supporting us with access to rights, interviews, live events, sponsorship dollars, all those different types of things? And the reception, kind of like the radio, was surprising in that a lot of people just said, yes, whatever you need, however I can help you, I'm happy to do it. And that we can offer in return some financial benefit to that, as well as some promotional benefit, of course. And it's really cool and validating to me to have had that happen so many times over the last year and change, to have formed relationships with people, not on the never knowing that this was going to come along, and always being willing to kind of raise my hand or put my hand out and say, hey, if I can help you, please let me know. And they have always said to me and back, likewise. And that this time there was a mutual benefit to that. That's humbling. It's great. It really makes me feel like the time that I have invested in genuinely getting to know people and try to understand their business and how we might be able to help each other someday, if it's not today, and just making real friends, you know, that has been so validating in this entire process. And that really excites me. So quickly kind of got together a large programming library, like well over 500 hours. That was kind of the minimum number. And they're like, okay, well, let's start pursuing it. Well, unfortunately, Cloud Media Center's business took a shift. A couple of things happened, some in their control, some out of their control. And the folks who were in charge were kind of shuffled out. And they were shuffled out because they were kind of caretakers for the business. They were hired to lead it and have a vision for it. And the people who financially backed it didn't feel quite the same way and wanted to focus on some core things. But that meant putting the arrangement that we have with them as a partner in the TV channel on hold. And ultimately, that took a couple of months to figure out how we were going to do that moving forward. And now it's a direct relationship with my business partner, who I've met through CMC, and me. And then we decided, okay, we're going to work on this together. We're going to get it done. And we spent basically the summer, early summer, talking to different platforms, different companies, that there aren't many, that do this for a living, that use technology to help you create a TV channel and put it on these fast platforms. And we did demos with all of them, and they're all very nice people. And they had pluses and minuses for each. And ultimately, in an interesting twist of fate that I won't talk about in this setting, but I would talk about if we were doing this face-to-face, but ultimately picked a company called Amagi. They are the category leader in terms of what's called Playout. They had all the features that we needed to be able to go do live programming and recorded programming, to be able to monetize it, to get additional distribution for it. And that's been a good relationship. We also started that in early July with the idea of launching August 1st. And that didn't turn out to be the case. And if you've ever done an IT project, if you've ever done a project like this, and in a past life, I was an IT guy. I was a project manager. It almost never goes exactly on the timeline you set out when you get in the room and you have the kickoff meeting, or in this case, the Zoom meeting and have the kickoff meeting. And you go, we're going to do this in 4 weeks. Then 8 weeks later, it's done. And amid that process, there's a certain amount of frustration that happens because you all agreed, hey, we can do this by August 1st. Kind of knowing full well you're winking and nodding to yourselves that wasn't going to be the case. And at the same time, while that's happening, trying to establish relationships with these platforms to take our channel. It's, for some cases, a chicken and egg game. Some say, we love the idea of the channel, and we'd be happy to take it. But we need to see it exist first. And then there's a smaller group, kind of that initial group that we have, that those folks agreed to take the channel sight unseen on the basis of relationship, prior relationship with my business partner, which has been great. We had to get the channel to exist. And so we had to have the channel launch on golfnewsnet.com so that everyone involved could see the channel and that it exists and what it's going to look like and how it will work. And that took time because then you have to upload hundreds of hours of programming. We haven't even uploaded, but 10% of our library, 15% of our library available. And then you have to label it, organize it, break it up into segments, because in our software, our program soft playout software, you have these things called SCTE markers, S-C-T-E. And they tell ad servers and the software, we're taking a commercial break. And they don't come natively in pretty much any of the shows that we work with. So we have to go watch them, figure out when the programming breaks are, and insert them manually. And then build those commercial breaks too, because like ads you see on a website, we call to a server, the server returns an ad. But if there's no ad, there needs to be something there. So we have to build these things called slates. And in the process of doing them now, we have three today. We'll probably have five by the end of the day today, maybe a little bit, maybe six. We'll have a bunch of them. And probably in the end have like 15 or 20 of them. But at least for the outset, we'll have, you know, six to nine of them. And those are 2 minute long spots that just carry the length of the break so that if an ad is called, it can run, or multiple ads are called, they can run. And the slate programming can't be a commercial. So we have to create different ideas, which is cool. We've been doing flyovers for our Road to French Lick show of the holes of the Pete Dye course at French Lick, Indiana. We've been doing Can You Guess the Hole flyovers of famous holes in golf. We've been doing a 60-second video introducing people to the channel. We've been doing, or will be doing, kind of visual scenery of golf courses that we've played in Ireland with our friends at Club Choice Ireland. And we'll do even more of that stuff over time. We're working on different ideas with different potential partners, different current partners. It'll be awesome. But we had to build those. So those have to exist. So now that that's out there and we have a 6-ish hour loop that we are running this week, we'll continue to kind of build out things and go back to some of those relationships and that we struck maybe a year ago or longer and really bring them up to speed, bring on all their programming officially, have agreements with them around ad split, revenue splits, and get it out there into the universe. And then start calling on people who said, hey, we would love to tell our email list about this. We'd love to do whatever you need to help promote the channel. And those things are starting in earnest. And all of this is happening simultaneously. It's a lot to manage. But I'm glad that it's here because for so many reasons. One, it's the cool fruition of something I think is the pinnacle of Golf Newsnet. When I started this so many years ago, this podcast, the 19th Hole Golf Show, before there were iPods, I had no idea that this is what would happen. But I knew over the course of the last few years what I wanted to happen. As the GNN website really established that the audience grew and we could start the radio side with iHeart and then turn a focus to this. The radio turns two next month, in a month and 10 days. We'll have a radio station that'll be fully fledged. We'll have a fast channel that'll have massive distribution. We now distribute video content to MSN, to Video Elephant, to Send to News. Our audience has exploded in size this year, while simultaneously something I'll talk about later has been really hard to deal with. But the future of GNN is all of these things. And to have achieved the start of that last big thing, maybe the biggest thing, it is the biggest thing, is really important to me. It's really emotional for me, even though I'm not always an emotional guy, but I get emotional about this kind of stuff, about long journeys and going through stuff to get to a goal. And that means I've, in my mind, accomplish the pillars that I need to fully build out this business. And on one hand, that's incredibly exciting because that means there's still a world of possibility. At the same time, that's also kind of saddening because that means I'm pretty close to the end of what I can accomplish with GNN like this. GNN has almost always been a one-person operation. One person with full-time. Maybe one employee for a few months. But I've always had contributors, freelance contributors, written in terms of the website, audio in terms of GNN radio, and now video in terms of GNN TV. But now the future will probably require us to have full-time employees. We'll have a producer, a social media person, someone who can maintain the library. Maybe that producer is the same person. We'll have probably a full-time staff writer. Those types of things will come along, and it won't just be... It's not even a mom-and-pop shop. It's a pop shop. And that excites me, scares me, but it also makes me realize I'm closer to the end than the beginning. And that the day will come when, if I want GNN to become bigger or better than it is, it might require me not being part of it. Or being a very small part of it. One or the other. And that could mean selling it. That could mean having investors. I don't know what that will entirely mean yet. But that's probably several years away. Get this thing off the ground. Build it to what you want it to be. Build the relationships. Have success in the programming world. And then figure out what's next. But that is in the distant horizon. And I'm someone who almost always thinks far ahead in what I'm doing now with what I intend to do next. And when the long-term project gets done, and becomes the short-term thing to focus on, then my brain starts to think about what's next. And the only thing I can think about next is the end. And the end for real. So that's exciting and scary all at the same time. And I'm emotional about getting this done, getting the TV stuff launched, because the rest of the year professionally, particularly as it relates to our website, has been brutal. In late 2023, like November timeframe, December timeframe, I was searching on Google and I was looking for something of ours. Maybe I was just searching Golf Newsnet and seeing what the results were. That's probably what it was. I don't remember exactly. But I remember seeing multiple websites that had the GNN logo on listed on Google and that had articles and pages that were clearly from our site. And I realized that our website had been copied. And so I did what I've done so many times before, and that is use the Digital Millennium Copyright Act of 2000 and go to the hosting provider, try to find the hosting provider and say, hey, you are breaking the law by hosting an illegal copy, non-permitted copy of my website, which is copyright. You need to remove it. And almost across the board, the internet service providers, the hosting providers, will say, okay, we understand, we're taking it down. Or they'll talk to the website owner who's created the copy. And that they're usually just of articles from our RSS feed, and they're on their website, and they give us a link back, but I don't want that. That's not authorized. That damages my brand, I think. So they just remove them, and usually they're fine. They're usually folks from overseas, and they're trying to make money, and it's not a mean bone in their body. They just don't know, and so they take the stuff down, and it's fine. But what I learned in this process of figuring out what these websites were is that they were complete and total copies of golfnewsnet.com. Thousands upon thousands of pages with the theme that I use, with our logoing, with our imagery, with our content copy, with our ad calls, all of it was exactly the same. The only difference was that on a number of these pages on each of these sites, they linked back to their own pages to try to build their own link authority that Google recognizes is important, and that the homepage of all of those sites was for a China-based lottery. That was clearly illegal and not ethical. And so the realization happened after doing research that there were five different domains that had completely copied GNN. And in total, there were more than 25,000 pages of GNN that were copied. And so I figured I need to find the host and they'll just pull them down quickly and this will resolve itself. The problem became when I learned that Google hosted the websites. Google, you know, website, search engine Google. Also, there's a product called Google Cloud, and you can serve your website from Google Cloud Storage. As it turns out, Google Cloud was the host for all five of these sites. And so when I reported the first couple, it took them a while to get back to me, which was weird because Google usually acts very quickly on such things. And they said that they could not verify my ownership of the website and that I should talk to the admin of the sites in question. And they sent me a email address to admin@sigmaticasia.com. It was at that point that I realized I had been copied by a syndicate that does this for this Chinese lottery. And that there was no way if they had intentionally copied the entire site and not just copied articles from an RSS feed and put it on their template, that they were going to take it down. And so began a nightmare journey of trying to get this stuff removed. I submitted to all five different websites to Google, and they took literally months to respond. 4 months to respond. And what they responded with was that they, each one of them, the exact same response. We cannot verify you are the website owner. And so I responded with all the information they ever needed. I save all this stuff. When I bought my domain, when I first bought hosting for that domain, the current hosting that I have, I changed records that you can see who owns the domain so that only I could change it. And it would only be me who could change it to those records. Nothing. They said you have to map all of the pages that were wrong, that were stolen, to pages on your website. And so I figured out a way to do that programmatically. so that it saved me days, if not weeks worth of time to load them all up individually and figure it out. I did it in hours, which was awesome to figure out, but turned out to be useless because ultimately, after multiple rounds of back and forth with Google, they said, we cannot take action on this right now, but we will further investigate it. Me, fed up about that, found a company called Remove Your Media, Remove My Media, LLC. They're one of the biggest DMCA requesters of Google on the planet. And talked to the folks there, and they were great. They said, okay, well, we're going to take care of this for you. We'll get you to the front of the line. We'll be done with it. This was May. And a few weeks before I heard back from this round of Google responses that turned out to be fruitless. So they sent all of this documentation, every mapped page, all of it, submitted to Google through their means. Similar system, but they have closer access to the front of the line. And then a few days later, maybe the better part of a week later, got an email in the middle of the night from the folks who Remove Your Media. They're American-based, but they work at odd hours, I guess. And said, I've never seen something like this before. Every single response was rejected because Google said you couldn't submit this kind of request for Google Cloud through this portal and that you would have to do them 10 at a time, batches of 10. Now, mind you, there are 25,000 pages, so that would be 2,500 batches. Really, really annoying stuff. So tried to break it up, do it a different way. Rejected again. Can't use it for this purpose. To the point that Remove My Media said, we can't help you. They have obfuscated and denied to the point that we don't know what to do. We're sorry. And it only cost me a few hundred bucks to work with them. And they were helpful. But what I learned in this process is that Google will go extremely far to defend their customer to the point that they break the law themselves, because they are breaking the law under the Digital Millennium Copyright Act because they violated what's called the safe harbor provision of that law. And that safe harbor provision states that, generally speaking, hosting providers are exempt from this law does not apply to them because they can unwittingly host offending content. So they have some refuge from prosecution. However, once they have been notified of this in good faith, they must act. And because they didn't, they have violated the law. And the practical effect of all of that is Google also owns a search engine. And what happens in these situations, or can happen, this is called a negative search engine optimization attack. This is what happened in total. All five websites were an intentional negative search engine optimization attack that started apparently in July 2022 with the first website and ended in November 2023 with the last website. And what happened was each of those websites not only copied my content, which Google knows is bad, but doxed me, not those websites, but also flooded me, my domain, thegolfnewsnet.com, with backlinks I didn't ask for and don't want because they're copies of my content. But it created quite literally 500,000 backlinks that I didn't have before to my website from sites that Google knows are scammy and spammy. And so eventually, come April, they decided through their algorithms, not through a manual process, that thegolfnewsnet.com was to be considered a spam site, a site not to be ranked well. And ever since then, we've been fighting an uphill battle to recover our website traffic. And that has started it's starting to get better. It started to get better in August and September. And the reason for that is most of these websites, four of the five, are now gone from the internet. three of the four that are gone, the domain simply expired. They owned the domain for a year at Sigmatic Asia. They let it expire. The website went away. The fourth, they replaced with another website. So what this company does, and I guess others like it, is they use a software called HTTrack, where they can download a website in full locally. They figure it's very easy to acquire software. You can do it very quickly. Then they re-uploaded it, renamed all of the page names, the domains for the URLs, to index-whatever.html. And all of a sudden, you have an enormous website. And it looks legitimate as a front for your lottery, your fake lottery, or whatever it is. And Google picks it up. It works. And so the last of those domains expires on the 23rd, assuming they don't renew it. And they haven't renewed the others, so my guess is they won't do that. And I assume that these folks were hired by somebody, but I don't know that either. I can't prove that. I don't know if they were hired by somebody. It could be a competitor. Could be someone who has ill will toward me. I don't know. Could just be I was the unlucky guy at the unlucky time. And they figured out I run WordPress and that they could download a really successful, high traffic, high SEO value site and link to it hundreds of thousands of times. So Google, obviously complicit in this, cost me a lot of money this year, probably in upwards of $60,000 to $70,000. And then there's my hosting provider, a company called WP Engine that I've worked with for years. I mean, like 6-7 years. And they did not have in place protections to block this software called HTTrack that anyone who runs a web hosting company should know about. I mean, it's out there. It's not surprising. Scraping software is not new or unique. People will go to websites with scraping technology, take the data, shape it for their own purposes. And more often than not, they just use it for their own. Like they put it on a spreadsheet or whatever, which has its ethical issues, but it's for private use. I can kind of live with that. In this case, they didn't block the software that basically made it possible to copy my website and run it into the ground. And then, after explaining all of it to them, they messed up my website, brought it down for a couple of days without me knowing. What it wasn't available to Google or Bing. And then they have the gall to ask me to pay more money to run my web hosting, because they each year try to convince me that I'm growing to the point that I can't handle the servers that I have currently, even though they've been the same for several years now, going back to 2020, when we first crossed the million user per month threshold. And I was not particularly happy with them. Still not happy with them. And once all of this is sorted out, I'm going to change hosting providers. But in the meantime, they still are. And what I experienced this last year with the website was completely unexpected. And it leaves you with a feeling of helplessness because everyone involved didn't do what they were supposed to do. What I paid them to do or what they are expected to do legally. And it's incredibly frustrating because it, like I said, cost me a lot of money, but also in lost revenue, but also suing is not worth it either because I can't, who am I going to sue? Sigmatic Asia. They are outside the boundaries of the US. The laws about intellectual property and loose at best where they're located in the Philippines. So what am I going to do with them? Google, they have obviously an exorbitant amount of cash available to fight any lawsuit and could just wait it out forever. And my hosting provider, you can't sue for incompetence. Not quite like this. So ultimately, it's a kind of lost year. And you can create good content and struggle to have people see it because of the power of Google. But I always try to take positives from negatives. And the positives this year that come from that will long outlast the negatives of this year. One I mentioned before, TV channel. We got it done. That's going to revolutionize our business because it's really hard to copy a TV channel. It's really hard to get distribution. So copying that will be next to impossible. Next, we have been able to distribute our content thanks to Cloud Media Center and another distribution partner, Video Elephant, which now it's really through all through Video Elephant, to MSN, which has been awesome. It's been wonderful to get to experience that platform. And with short form video content that we've done, articles that we produce regularly anyway, we have a bigger audience now than we ever have. And it's not even close, by a multiple of like 4 or 5 of our best months. And that's really cool. And it builds. And we're just getting started there. It can build massively upon that in 2025 and beyond. And it's a great vehicle to promote everything that we do. Written content, video content, not so much audio content, but those things. And all told, at the end of this year, despite where we are in the recovery process of our audience for the website, we have more people checking out our content than ever. That's awesome. That's what I wanted to do. It's what I've set out to do. It's what I've always tried to accomplish. And try to do it in an ethical, interesting way that's different and ahead of the curve. And that's where we are. We're ahead of the curve. We're ahead of the curve on podcasts. We're ahead of the curve on the web. We're ahead of the curve on radio. We're ahead of the curve on TV. Other people have caught up to us in certain things, but they will be hard-pressed to catch up with us on this. And that also makes me, you know, brings in the emotion of it because I have worked for so hard for so long. And some of you know it and some of you don't. And that it doesn't matter whether you do or not. If you're invested in it, thank you. If not, that's okay too. But I worked for so hard for so long to fight against and simultaneously be a part of a system of golf content, of golf media. And I feel like with everything that has been accomplished this year, we finally got to that highest level. Maybe not the highest, right? I mean, there's still Golf Channel and they do incredible things. There's still Golf Digest with Discovery and they have mountains of influence, right? They have a very sizable audience, even bigger than our, you know, 5 million people a month. They probably reach, I guess, we guess 15 to 20 million, you know? Golf.com and the folks over there do a good job with their content. They have a good amount of reach as well. So there's still plenty of things to shoot for in terms of bigger distribution, bigger, whatever. But that's the journey of this year, has been getting punched down repeatedly. On one, maybe even punched in the back of the head repeatedly, but then getting up and punching your way out of it forward and walking away from the things that have been hitting you, blindsiding you in the back of your head. And so my hope is for the rest of this year, the traffic we'll recover on the website, we'll continue to expand our distribution of video and audio and written content. We'll have more to talk about on the TV side, but more than all of that, to have good stories and content to share in a variety of different ways with you. So that's why I kind of put this all out there, is ultimately we're closer than ever to our goal of being an incredible source for golf news and entertainment, whether you like pro golf, recreational golf, something in between. And that's what this year is about. This is what my adult life has been about. But I think we're closer than ever to achieving that. And unfortunately, that has come at the expense of shows like this one, where you have great conversations with people and talk about golf, and we'll resume that And there'll be kind of a video version of the 19th Hole Golf Show that also is a podcast, kind of like my daily two off the first show, my golf betting podcast, our interview series with equipment folks and with golf entrepreneurs, all of those things. They will be video and audio. And so for me, the very exciting future starts now. And I hope you'll come on the journey for it. If you've made it this far into the show and heard all of the rambling stuff that I've had to say that you probably just might have flown over your head, might not have, might have mattered, might not have, that I very much appreciated. And if you never got this far, then my phone number is, no, I'm just kidding. But we'd love to hear from you. Email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. On social media at Brian Balogi or Golf News Net. Appreciate a follow if you're not already. If you are, thank you again. Thanks for supporting Golf News Net. Thanks for supporting the people who help make Golf News Net possible on the written, audio, and video sides. And it's my vow to you that we're going to continue to work as hard as possible to fulfill the mission that we've set out to do for so many years. So thank you for your support and time, and we will catch you next time on the 19th Hole Golf Show.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.